Lord, you are worthy of our praises. We come to you, as that song said, we come to you, broken people, to the table of the Lord to hear your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, your grace, your peace. This message, Lord, believe you for a work of God in our hearts, Lord, that people could be healed in the midst of the preaching tonight, delivered, Lord, in a great way. Lord, we just thank you, for your mercy endures forever and ever. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You have called us, you have chosen us, you have given us your grace, your peace, your word tonight, Lord. Pray for your anointing on our pulpit tonight, on Pastor Schiavelli, on this message, Lord. And Lord, just thank you for this great group of people, great saints, Lord, gathered together to worship and adore you. Thank you, Lord. Just really, just hear the cries of our heart and speak to us, Lord. Speak to us and help us to hear what you have to say to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you could open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read beginning verse 18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust.
Okay. You may be seated if you're still standing. Amen. Just to make something clear, and I want my wife to, I think she understands this, this haircut was not on purpose. What actually happened was I was in a barber shop, and in the middle of the cut, this lady whose mother was a heroin addict, she was telling me and crying about what's going on with her mother. And I was giving her the gospel and anybody else that was listening. And it just went on and on and on and on and on, you know. And then when I finally looked up, I realized, like, she just kept cutting while I was talking. And so my big mouth did it again. Like, it's unbelievable. But it was a great time of encouragement. I read a story one time about a man who was watching a barber cut someone's hair. And when he got into the barber's chair, and the barber was constantly talking, he says, "How would you like your hair cut?" He says, "In silence." And I kind of thought about that after, you know, that was amazing. But I gave her a gospel track, a couple telephone numbers, and really she was just, I mean, your barber's crying, you know, like, what do? You know, the person's cutting your hair is crying, you know, and just over what's going on with their mother. And it just caused me to think about something and understand something that we read right here. Matthew 12, 20 and 21. The nations will put their trust in God's servant, his chosen. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Because of what is said there, a bruised reed he shall not break. Have you ever been a bruised reed? Come on. Have you ever been a bruised reed? Like, just you're still together, but it hasn't been snapped. But it could happen at any moment. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax is kind of very dim. Smoking flax he will not put out till he brings forth judgment to victory. And I think that's an amazing portion of scripture. I think that oftentimes we, myself included, I don't see it this way all the time, but our God is a God who encourages people. Amen? Hello? Are you here? Okay. It's Wednesday night. Come on. And he's a God who encourages. He's an encourager. When the Bible speaks of encouragement, the word is an amazing word. It means one who will strengthen you, one who will establish you, one who will help you to move forward, a comforter. Our God is a comforter. Jesus Christ is a comforter. The Father is a comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He comforts, a Father who comforts. Jesus is a comforter because he said, when I leave, I'm going to send another, what? Comforter. So that means he's a comforter. And I think of his ministry towards us tonight. He's an advocate, which means he's there to plead and say, finished work, not their sin. And he's an intercessor. So when I'm in sin and I'm weak, God is there as a comforter for my life. He's there with grace for my weakness and mercy for my sin. And this is so incredible to realize that God wants to encourage people. And if I myself do not see that and do not let God have a ministry of encouragement towards me personally, most likely I'm not going to encourage myself, and then for sure I'm not going to encourage anybody else unless I'm into flattery. That's called flattery. So I need to understand that God is a God who encourages people. When they sinned in the garden, he didn't just let them go their way. He said what? Adam, what? Where are you? He's looking for Adam to give him a coat of skins based upon shed blood. He's encouraging him. You made a mistake. You gave in to evil, you sinned, but I have called you and you belong to me and I'm going to encourage you. I mean, Noah, he's drunk, he's half naked, and what does God do? Huh? What God encourages him. God lifts him up and encourages. So when I understand that God is an encourager, because there's so much discouragement out there, is there not? Just you look around everywhere, whether it's the news or it's politics or it's health situations or it's crime or it's what's going on in this world, warfare everywhere, trouble on every side. And if you look at it outside of the mind of God, it's very easy for you and I to become what? Discouraged. Very discouraged. And yet God says, my ministry to you is to be a ministry of absolute encouragement. I want to encourage you. You know, when you think about, I was thinking about the ministry of Joshua. Before Moses is going, now that alone, Moses is going, would make me a little bit nervous. What's going to happen next? Moses is going. And he takes Joshua in Joshua 31, or Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8, and he puts him in front of Israel, and he encourages Joshua in the sight of Israel. So they will understand that Moses is encouraging Joshua, and so must the people of God encourage Joshua. Very important. He encourages him. Joshua was not maybe, he may have been very strong for battle. In Exodus chapter 17, he might have been able to fight very well. I'm not so sure about his ability to lead, not so much his ability, but whether he felt a little bit intimidated, a little bit timid, and a little bit weak, and a little bit insecure about taking Moses' place. And so he said to him, be what? Verses 1, 7, 9, and 18 of Joshua 1. 1, 7, Joshua 1, 7, 9, 8, 9, and 9, 18. He said, be strong and what? And of good courage. I want you to be strong, and that's in the Lord, and be of good courage. Hang on to God because God is hanging on to you. So God wants to encourage us. I remember one, you know, it's amazing to me because of what's going on so often we see in Christianity, there can be these legalistic mindsets and these attitudes about people. I remember I had a Bible study one time, and it was one of the most unique Bible studies you ever would have attended in your entire life. It was on Central Street in Springfield, Massachusetts. I wasn't a pastor. But somehow, myself and Pastor Joe Cabral, who went home to be with the Lord, we decided to go into a certain area of the city and spend 40 days on the streets. That was wacko, but it was God. just there every single day in this one section. By the time we were finished, we had 35 or 40 people coming to Bible study that night on Tuesday nights. It was amazing what was going on there. And I'm not talking about just your average Joe. These were people that were hardcore crime, alcoholics, drugs, all kinds of things. But as the Bible study began to develop, we began to see people getting transformed and people getting changed. And of course, they still had, you know, you don't come out of all of your bad habits at once. Have you ever noticed that? Not that you have any, but or I do, but I'm just saying. We don't come out of all of them at once, all right? And so one day, during a break of the Bible study, maybe out of the 30 people, six or seven of them were smoking cigarettes on the porch. And of course, some of the elders of the church drove by. And they called me in the office the next day and they said, Steve Schiavelli, what is going on Central Street in that Bible study? We see all these people lighting up. We don't even know what they're lighting up on the porch. What kind of a Bible study is that? Is it got any, I mean, do you tell them about the holiness of God and righteousness and how to break bad habits? I said, you know, I'm so sorry that happened. But, you know, they've made amazing improvements. I said, 2 weeks ago, they were shooting heroin in the bathroom. Now they're just having a cigarette on the porch. And I think eventually, within a few weeks, they might be like you. But hopefully not, because your attitudes are quite strange. We were there to do what? Encourage them. I don't encourage people to smoke. That can kill you. I'm just saying. The principle there. Encouraging. Encouraging them, you know? And I knew where they were coming from, and I knew, like, the great improvements that were being made in their lives and the great growth that was happening. So I wasn't going to be there and say, hey, why are you smoking? What are you doing? Like that. You know what? Do this and do that. No, I was there to encourage them. Thank God. I said, thank God you beat the heroin addiction. It's amazing. You're not getting high and committing crimes. I'm so spiritually proud of you. Hallelujah. As they're blowing lucky strikes in your face. That's okay. Because eventually they would get delivered and become just wonderful Christians. Whatever that means. Encouragement, to encourage people. How important, you know, having worked 10 years in prisons, what are you going to do in a prison where there's all murderers? By the way, worked in a prison where there was all murderers and there was no death sentence in the state. That means they could kill you and there's no big deal. Nothing else happens. They just stay in the same prison cell, you know? But how to encourage people? God, and knowing that God is an encourager. This is what God does. He encourages. When Moses murders an Egyptian, God calls them in Exodus 3. He encourages him. Deuteronomy 1:28, 3:28, you can see God encouraging Moses all the way. He takes him from A to B to C and then onward in the Christian life. And this is the kind of God that is ministering to us. He wants to encourage us. We're so good at living in discouragement and depression. Tonight at the wrap, by the way, we're going to talk about an addiction. And it's going to be an interesting topic on what we talked about a little bit on Grace Hour today, about screen addiction. Do you know what screen addiction is? Huh? And they're talking about what's happening with young people, that they're spending 8 to 10 hours a day on the screens. And what it's doing to their brain. They say it's, in China, they're calling it worse than heroin and cocaine addiction. Because of what it's doing to people's thinking and how they can handle life and the progression of thoughts in their mind and coming to conclusions. It's incredible what's going on. God is an encourager. He encourages people all the way. David got into a situation in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And, you know, he had killed Goliath and, you know, the story about what's going on with David. And all of a sudden, Saul wants to kill him. And he tries to throw a javelin at him a couple times, a javelin. And then in 1 Samuel 30, they're out and they're kind of in warfare mode. They come back to Ziklag and their city or their foundational place, their base of operation was burned, in case you're sleeping, burned with fire. couple of people nodding out. I encourage you to wake up. Okay? They burned it with fire, and there was nothing left. Charles Spurgeon said, he called a message one time, the darkness of Ziklag, the weakest point in David's life. David was at the weakest point in his life, and it said that the mighty men turned on him to stone him. Can you imagine? These are the guys that stuck with him for 15, 20 years. All of a sudden, because their wives were taken and their families were taken captive, they turned on David and they were going to stone him because they had no more power to weep. What did David do? And this is important for me and you in our lives. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Do you ever encourage yourself in God? Sometimes it can almost sound strange if you do it. Say, I'm an awesome Christian. Say that. I'm an awesome Christian. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm complete in Him. There's no one that's ever been like me in the history of the universe before Christ. I encourage myself. I don't say, well, I need to do a better job. I understand growing and the principles of all that. But I want to say that I'm going to encourage myself. And if I'm always beating up on myself, looking down on myself, criticizing myself, and analyzing myself, the devil says, thank you for playing in my card game. I've got you now. Because I am the expert at discouragement. But I want to encourage myself in God. I can say, I'm born again. I'm a new person in Christ. It's amazing. I have a future in heaven. I have an eternal purpose with God. I know God. Isn't that encouraging? I'm encouraged. I'm a great mother. Got that, Mary Anthony? Just say, I'm a great mother. Hello. I said that to somebody today in England. I said, say you're a great mother. You're a great mother. women, I don't. Is this a women's seminar? I don't hear them saying it. What? I'm a great father. You know, we're always looking at the downside of everything. You know what? By the way, you're the perfect parent for your children because they have genetics just like you. And you know exactly how to handle them. Way better than anybody else could. Encouragement. That I'm encouraged by God. God is a God who encourages us all the time, regardless of our situation. Watch this one. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. He's demanded you back for himself. And I have prayed for you, especially for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. That's encouraging. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to fail, but I'm going to still use you to establish, strengthen, comfort, and encourage the other ones that are in the ministry with you. Hello? That's awesome. He encourages him. I mean, I was thinking about angel food cake and fish today. Angel food cake. Elijah's depressed. He's on the run, okay? He's running away like Pastor Cooper. No, he's not. Just having fun. I just had to do that because I'm just looking right at you. Marty Vieter, all right. He's running away. He's running away. He kills all these prophets in 1 Kings 18 of Baal, 800 of them, 800 against one. God gives him a victory. Jezebel writes him an email. And he's like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And he says, take my life because they want to kill me. He had a twofold problem there. God, you take my life because they want to kill me. He's depressed. He's like, God comes to him and says, what are you doing here? And you know what happens? An angel brings him a cake and puts it right there. Angel food cake. I love it. Don't make me one. I'm just saying, I love it. Angel food cake. And he eats the cake and he says, God says, you can go in the strength of this for your journey. Angel food cake. He's backslidden. He's running away. He should be like, come on. I'm Elijah, the prophet. I just did something incredible on Mount Carmel, and now I'm running away from a woman's email. Hello. But she was fairly demonized, really demonized. Elijah, what are you doing here? And you know what he says to Elijah? I want you to anoint. This is how God encourages. Okay, you're depressed, you're discouraged, you want to kill yourself. I want you to anoint the king of Syria, the king of Israel, and anoint Elisha in your office. I'm going to have you anoint three different leaders. That's how God encourages Elijah. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is who God is. Do I see God that way? Or do I see God as waiting for me to make a mistake? Huh? Hello? What is the Holy Spirit called in John 14, 16, 14, 26, 15, 26, 15, 7, and 16, 13? Do you know what he's called? You know what he's called? I'm not going to give those verses again because I forgot them already. Listen, he's called the Comforter. He says when the Comforter comes, when the Parakletos comes. In other words, the Holy Spirit in a church and in a believer is supposed to encourage me and encourage other people. We're not, you know, at times we're not in the flesh, we're not good at that. I need to grow in that. We need to grow in that. Husbands encouraging their wife. Encourage your wife. Pointing right at you. Okay, wife, encourage your husband. Wow, that's an amazing way you cut the grass. You made a mess of it. Okay, yeah, it's that one big mess on the lawn, you know. But you did a good job, you know. It's amazing the way you wash the dishes. And she's going, I'm just praying he would use soap and hot water one of these days. But you encourage it that he actually washed the dishes. My wife encourages me, it's time to vacuum the rugs. I was doing it the other day, you know, I went all over the house. It took me about 25, 30 minutes to do some of the rugs upstairs. She goes, do you know that it's not even on? Do you know it's not spinning? I went. She says, it's not spinning. I thought I was picking up everything, you know. I was just having a great time, you know, back and forth, all the rugs. Look at how clean. They weren't clean. There just was marks on them, that's all. From the lawnmower. From the vacuum cleaner. And I say, here we go again. She goes, now let's do it the right way. I'm like, could this wait? And she goes, that was encouraging. It was very encouraging that it actually began to work again. How about encouraging our children? Hello? I said to somebody the other day, I said, you know what? My son's room's a mess. I said, is there a little corner of that room that's clean? Like there's nothing in this little corner. I said, bring him over to the corner of the room and say, this is an awesome corner. This is amazing. Wow, this thing is spotless. This corner's spotless. I'm so proud of you. Watch what happens. Huh? He's liable to clean the whole room. Encouraging our children. They get a D, you say, thank God you didn't get an F. They get an F, say, thank God you didn't get two of them. They get two F's, say, thank God, whatever, I don't know. But they need encouragement. Young people, children need to be encouraged. What an awesome painting. What an awesome picture you drew. You don't even know what it is. You're looking at the picture. You can't even figure out what that picture is. That's amazing. You're going to be an artist. Can't believe the way you're playing that flute and strumming that guitar. You don't. There's no chord. Nothing's going right, okay? On it at all. It's like, and you're like, that's incredible. You say, that's like not telling the truth. Well, Romans 4:17 says, he calls those things that are not as though they were. Amen? So don't tell me about it. All right? Jesus is saying to them, they're backslidden in the boat in John 21, and they come ashore, and he says, bring the fish which you have caught, and he's cooking breakfast for them. Isn't that encouraging to a backslider? God's cooking breakfast for you. That's so amazing. I had a pastor one time. He got a real problem in his marriage. And that problem made him make some really bad decisions. He left the ministry. Not only did he leave the ministry, he started to slander me everywhere. And I had trained him for 4 years. He went to Bible school, graduated. We put him over a church. Everything was going really incredible. He began to slander me. Then one time he even came to the church passing out information about me to people that were leaving the church. Now, you know, like, I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And God said, be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know what happened? About 6 months later, there was a knock on my door, and it was him. He said to me, Pastor Shibeli, I know God has forgiven me. Will you forgive me? I said, you know what? I never replaced your position. You're still the pastor of that work. Go back today. Go back today. You know what happened? He ended up going to Liberia. He ended up going to Togo. It's amazing what took place. He went in so many places for the ministry. What did he need? Well, he had a situation in his marriage that became very discouraging. He needed to be what? Encouraged. This is who God is. What does Nehemiah's name mean? The encouragement of Yahweh. He's the guy they're sending back to build the city that's walls are broken down and their gates are burned and they're surrounded by enemies. He says, Nehemiah, Ezra's the man of the book, but Nehemiah is a spiritual man who's an encourager who's going to go back and he's going to put it all back together in Jerusalem. What does Baltimore need? It needs churches that will encourage people. Amen? We need churches that have encouragement. They're encouraging each other. Then we have a gospel and we want to encourage people. I don't want to talk to people about their sin, about all the wrong decisions they've made in their life. I want to encourage them that there's love, mercy, and grace for them, and you can be placed in Christ, and you can be saved forever. That's an encouraging word. You hear, sometimes we used to hear these people all the time. They'd be on street corners, or they'd be in places in certain cities in Africa. I would see them everywhere with these long white gowns on, and they would have a Bible, and they would be yelling and screaming at people. You wicked, perverse, evil people. You need to repent, 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 repent. So one day I just unplugged the guy. I'm not going to tell you how. I thought to myself, I can't take this. Nobody was listening. People would just walk right by. That's a very discouraging message. That's a very, who wants to listen to that? People want to hear that God is an encourager. He takes a woman at a well and makes her a soul winner. He takes blind Bartimaeus and he draws him to himself. Rich Zacchaeus. Two men are backslidden in Luke 24 and he goes there and he encourages them. He walks alongside of them and tells them really who he is. It's encouragement all through the book of Acts. Constant encouragement. This is really what we are in the middle of. With a God who will encourage us, a church that's encouraging, a message that's encouraging. And this is the key. This is how people will be established and strengthened. How can a person that has a drug problem make it? He needs to be what? Encouraged. How can a reconciliation happen in a marriage? Encouragement. How can children be delivered from bad habits in young people? Encouragement. How can a city change? Encouragement. This is the key, without a doubt. You know what it's like when somebody encourages you. And by the way, it's amazing. I think sometimes because of the attacks that church leaders are under, they really need the encouragement of God. They have to handle so many situations. Maybe you've got your problem, but you come to somebody and he's got 25 of them. And guess what he needs? He needs to be what? Encouraged. Not to be critically analyzed, you know, these people got, how come this, and how come that, and why this, and why that, and how come you just don't like be still? And be thankful that you're saved and you have a church. Amen? Encouragement. Let's receive from a God who encourages us, from a word that's encouraging, from the Spirit who encourages, from the plan of God to encourage us. What will happen in heaven will be encouraged forever. We will just live strengthened by God, established by God, comforted by God, advancing by God. This is the ministry of encouragement towards us. This is so key. This is what Bible school should be about. Encouraging people to take the next step. Taking the next step. encouraging people. And that means even when maybe they're making a wrong decision, they realize that your love is unconditional. You encourage them in who they are in Christ. And if they make the decision, they make the decision. You still love them and you're available to minister to them at any point in time. Let's be what? Encouragers. Amen? Let's be, what was Barnabas to the Apostle Paul? Son of consolation. Barnabas, his name means son of consolation. Everybody was afraid of that man. Barnabas went and got him. He went to Tarsus. Martin Luther said it's the greatest verse in the Bible, Acts 11:25. He said, Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek for Paul. Nobody wanted anything to do with Paul. They didn't trust that he really got converted. The apostles said, get this guy out of here. Even Ananias said, right, in Damascus, oh no, you're not going to tell me to go pray for this man. Oh no, I know about this man. He's done much evil to the saints. But you know what? Barnabas had a ministry of what? Encouragement. And he got the Apostle Paul and he encouraged him. And that was the ministry that they had. That's the ministry of the church. That's the ministry of God himself, the ministry of the body, and the ministry of the gospel. Amen? Father, thank you tonight. Thank you. Thank you for encouraging. Just as a sideline before I close, my mother, she had told us that you should go and get a casket and a funeral home and get that ready. And then somebody that we knew from 30 years ago got converted, and they went to the hospital room. They got on their knees at her bed, and they sang and spoke to her for 3 hours. You know what happened? She's going home. She's going home. I said to her, listen. I told her, listen, don't ever quit. You know what? God cares about you. And we need you to be at least 100. She goes, I suppose you're going to say you'd like me to bury you. I said, I didn't say anything about that at all. I just said, like, you know, be encouraged. And so this man, Mike Savage, went there, and literally, he's a convert. And this guy was a very interesting person before his salvation with his habits. And he went there, and he got on his knees, and he prayed and sang to her for 3 hours. And it's unbelievable. Nobody could figure out. All the people in the hospital were going in the room saying, what's going on here? And it was just God encouraging your prayers for her. Our prayers for people. Our prayers are such an encouragement for people. We pray for them. We speak to them. We love them. We believe the best. Say that. I'm going to believe the what? We believe the best about people. Or we're just waiting for somebody to make a mistake. Waiting for them to make a mistake. We believe the best because we believe the finished work. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for encouraging us, God, that you are the comforter. I'm going to send another comforter. This is the ministry of encouragement. So, Father, thank you. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ, you're on the internet, you're not saved, say, Jesus, save me tonight. Come into my life and set me free. I believe in you, and I receive you as my personal Savior. I need to be built up, encouraged. This will be Sunday morning's message also, God permitting, encouragement and edification. God, thank you. Help us, God. Thank you for encouraging us. When we fail, you encourage us. When we go the other way, you encourage us. When we don't even think we want God, you encourage us. You encourage us every step of the way. Every step of the way. Tonight, you can receive Christ. Say, Jesus, save me. Put your hand up. Jesus, save me. On the internet, Jesus, save me. Save me. If you're here tonight and you just want God to really reveal to you the ministry of encouragement, you just pray that prayer. God, I need encouragement. Encourage me, God. Through the Spirit, through the Word, through the body, through the gospel, through the eternal purpose. God, encourage me. God will do it. God is an encouraging God. He wants to strengthen us and establish us. Thank you. You said when our heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Thank you, God. We praise you tonight. Thank you, God. Once again, bless Pastor Schaller, Pastor Vieter, Pastor Dan, the ministry they have. May they be encouraged and may they be used to encourage others in that part of the world. Thank you. We pray for the women's seminar. May it be a time of encouragement. Encouragement. Thank you, God. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because in the assembly, we are encouraged. We receive encouragement. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.